Well, often at this point in a retreat here on the, you've made it for through the first long day, and now you're starting into the second day. And the challenge with short retreats is you have a lot of the rockiness and the ups and downs that every retreat starts with. And so it's really important on a retreat, especially of this length, that you take the ups and downs and rockiness and the unsettledness and the restlessness and the sleepiness and the wanting and the aversion, that you don't have a sense that you need to hurry past this to some sort of quiet other state. That this is your practice, that meeting what's coming up. Meeting, all of you are probably familiar with the hindrances, with that list of the five things that arise. A reminder, wanting, aversion, restlessness, sleepiness or sloth and torpor, and doubt. And all of these arise. And they are hindrances when they are not seen. They are hindrances when they are running the show from the back. It's like when puppeteer, like when they're puppeting us, but we're not seeing who's up there, So it's as soon as we go, oh yeah, there it is. This is aversion. Oh, yeah, look, there's a lot of restlessness. There's a lot of sleepiness. Whatever it is, as soon as we see the whole puppet show, then it's no longer a hindrance. Then it's practice. And that shifts everything. And underlying our willingness to meet the hindrances. Is another of the paramis, the quality of determination or resolve. And can you, even as I say it, you can feel that it's like so clear. Oh yeah, in order to keep going when there's this up and down and rockiness and things, there has to be this sort of underlying like, I'm here. I'm gonna keep going. It's like the determination is what gives our intention some juice. You can have an intention and you throw out, we have all sorts of intentions. This is the nature of like New Year's resolutions, right? You make a New Year's resolution and it's a great intention. But how much determination and resolve is behind most New Year's resolutions? And people often ask me, I think as a Dharma teacher, it's the most asked question is, how do I get my daily practice? And it's like, well, there's no trick. I'm not going to knock on your door every morning and open the door and say, okay, now we're going to sit. There's not some external thing or trick that works for everybody. But really, what it is connecting not only to the intention, but to the underlying determination. And determination in the context of the paramis is often spoken about not only the determination to awaken, but it's the determination to do it for the benefit of all beings. That, in other words, the what brings up determination is compassion. So it, because otherwise it's like, it sounds a lot like tanha, a lot like wanting, like this determination to get somewhere else. But determination arises out of our hearts, out of our commitment to doing less harm and to being skillful in the world and caring for others. So the heart practice and this seemingly, I don't know about you, but for me, the word determination or resolve has kind of a dryness or a coldness to it. And it's not that way because what holds the determination is this element of care for all beings, the compassion. And then that's what supports our intention, our moment-to-moment intention, our ability to sit through the next sit. You can feel it. If you're in a sitting and you get really uncomfortable, it's the determination that keeps you going during that sit. In the Goenka tradition, which there's some elements of it that I don't think are that useful, and there's some elements of it that are very useful. And one of the things that the Goenka tradition is very good at is cultivating determination. One of the things they do is they have there's a name for it. It might be like resolve sits or something like that, where you sit for an hour and you make a resolve at the beginning of it not to move, not to move anything. And that may or may not be useful for you, but you can feel in that what's being cultivated there is this attitude of determination. There's an to have daily sits and to do retreats, we have to have determination. And I love there's these wonderful stories you might be familiar with about a teacher, Deepa Ma, who lived in Calcutta. And she lived like in a tenement housing, like a not a high rise, but a mid rise with lots and lots of families. It was like this very crowded, working, don't have a lot community, and she lived there her whole life. And she taught particularly the women that were right around her. And she would tell the women that they needed to sit every day for an hour or 2 hours. And these are women who worked from dawn to dusk and just very, very full lives. And Deepa Ma was relentless. She was like, that's fine. You get up earlier. If you have to get up at 3 instead of 4, then you get up at 3 and you sit for an hour. And I think about that when I've done this as well, is like this sort of attitude, like, well, I don't have time to sit. My life's too busy. And it's like, okay, seeing how can you contact this real determination that says, no, this is a priority. Either I am gonna make space for it, or I'm going to get up earlier. And as I say that, you can see that in order to have that, we have to contact the reason that we're doing it. We have to stay in contact with our care and love for ourselves and all beings. That's what then allows the determination to arise. And it's interesting, one of the challenge, in a certain way, one of the biggest challenges, like in day-to-day practice, and even here, I recently had a retreat where somebody just got caught in a doubt cycle, and it really, usually it washes through, but sometimes it just sticks around. And doubt also, excuse me. Doubt, in some ways, is the little niggler that interrupts our daily practice. And this is from Sylvia Bornstein. She says, the very act of determination, the decisive energy of a moment of absolute resolve, sweeps confusion away and pumps the mind back up to its natural strength. Sustaining effort is the antidote to doubt. It is an act of faith. So this, they go back and forth, that when we have resolve, then there's this, I'm moving forward. And in some ways, we don't tend to indulge our doubts then. And we don't indulge our, I want to say, our sort of, our petty excuses. You know, there's a lot of ways that, and a lot of people have noticed this, that in the West, sometimes we have a harder time with this real commitment because we've become so attached to comfort. And so anything that might disrupt our comfort seems like a challenge for us. One of the really interesting aspects of practice, and I think it was Ajahn Sachito who said that the whole of the path can be described as the transformation of tanha to chanda. So tanha is craving. That's the wanting mind that wants this, wants that, and is in the First Noble Truth, and that causes suffering, and that is, you know, what we're trying to let go of in order to be here, present, content, and available for skillful action to arise, freeing the mind of greed, aversion, and delusion, dropping that tanha. But a very reasonable question that comes up, well, if we're not wanting, then what is it that moves us down the path? Like, if I'm supposed to be not leaning into and wanting, why would I get up and sit? What is it that I'm supposed to, how do I get up and sit without wanting? Or how do I come on retreat? Isn't coming on retreat or wanting to be awakened, isn't that also a certain kind of craving? And the answer to that question is lies in this word chanda. And chanda is wholesome desire. It's the desire to awaken. It's the desire to, when we want to do something of a compassionate act. It's the wholesome desire that comes up that accompanies an act of generosity. That has this quality of wanting to follow it through. It's the wholesome desire that we bring to our practice. And all of us have this. In some traditions, in some ways, it's sometimes talked about as the enlightenment drive. That we have all these instinctual drives to eat, to, you know, that we, to be safe and all that. But then there's also this other one, this very wholesome desire to waken and to be, to have our hearts open, to be in connection with others, to care, to act in a way that's skillful. And this is what this quality of determination supports. It's a determination to support the wholesome. There's a nice little poem from the from the book of poems of the monks and nuns that awakened at the time of the Buddha. And they have, there's a whole, the terragata, for some reason the word wasn't coming to me, terragata in this case from the monks. And there are all these poems that have come down to us of all the monks, or many monks and nuns. It's a beautiful collection. So this is one from the Venerable Matangaputta, talking about this quality of determination. It's too cold, too hot, too late in the evening. These excuses are not new. People who say this, shirking their work, the moment passes them by. Whoever regards cold and heat as no more than grass, doing one's duties, won't fall away from ease. With my chest, I push through wild grasses, spear grasses, ribbon grasses, rushes, cultivating a heart bent on seclusion. I'll read it again. It's too cold, it's too hot, too late in the evening. People who say this, shirking their work, the moment passes them by. Whoever regards cold and heat as no more than grass does one's duties and won't fall away. Fall away from ease. With my chest, I push through wild grasses, spear grasses, ribbon grass, rushes, cultivating a heart bent on seclusion. Place there in the middle. I can't quite follow myself, but hopefully you get the gist. It's just like grass. All the excuses, all the, you can feel in that this relationship between doubt and determination, the way we cultivate, and we cultivate a lot of doubt. So it's like turning it around, cultivating this real movement. I want to read you a little bit the word, some words from the Buddha. I'm talking about this quality. Here it's translated as persistence. And what is the faculty of persistence? There is the case where one who is a disciple, one of the noble ones, keeps their persistence aroused for abandoning unskillful mental qualities and taking on skillful mental qualities. So, do you recognize the four right efforts there? The abandoning unskillful mental qualities and taking on skillful mental qualities. One is steadfast, solid in their effort, not shirking their duties with regard to skillful mental qualities. One generates desire, this is the chanda, endeavors, arouses persistence. Upholds and exerts one's intent for the sake of the non-arising of evil, unskillful qualities that have not yet arisen, for the sake of the abandoning of evil, unskillful qualities that have arisen, for the sake of the arising of skillful qualities that have not yet arisen, and for the maintenance, non-confusion, increase, plenitude, development, and culmination of skillful qualities that have arisen. This is called the faculty of persistence. So here it's very being very closely tied to the four right efforts that I brought in yesterday around energy. So one of the things, as and it was very clear in Jeannie's talk last night, is that all of these paramis are woven together. In fact, you could just go into one parami and go all the way, just keep exploring, 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 and all the others will show up. None of them are an isolated factor. They relate to each other. So that's why, in some ways, like I know people who have very much, I have a dear friend who I think the part of me that I have seen so profoundly in her is the quality of generosity. And it's really consistent. And I can see through that quality all these other qualities coming up. And sometimes I look and I go, like, I don't understand it. Like, she's older and on a very fixed income. And sometimes I'm like, you know, she's generous with her time and her thing, and sometimes with things as well. And I'm like, you can't give things away, or you can't buy things to give away. You know, you need to eat. And that line of thinking just doesn't really resonate with her. And it's interesting because it's not that she's, just to be sure, it's not like she's cavalier and is running up huge debts. That's not it at all. But it's just this trust and real leaning in to this generosity and the understanding that is her way into all these, you know, as a result of the generosity, there's a determination to make the financial part work. You know, she'll figure it out. You know, there's all these different qualities that come through in support of the generosity. This quality of determination is very connected to a quality I'll talk about tonight of truthfulness, because it takes incredible determination to stay with truthfulness. And in fact, in the list, determination is after truthfulness, because that it takes such persistence to stay on track with that. So just let yourself feel like as a certain quality gets called up, how there's other factors coming in and supporting you as well. And you may find that as you lean into a certain quality, that if it's wobbly, it may be, if you look around, because a certain other of the paramis is quite weak, and so it's not supporting you in the way it needs to. For instance, I started yesterday with energy. You can have a lot of determination, but if the energy hasn't been aroused, if there's not that alertness, the determination will sag, right? It just isn't there. And as I was saying, the determination needs to have the loving kindness quality in order to move forward, and we'll continue to weave these relationships. I want to end this little talk this morning with a poem from Alison Letterman. Because even the word obstacle is an obstacle. Try to love everything that gets in your way. The Chinese women in the flowered bathing caps, murmuring together in Mandarin, doing leg exercises in your lane, while you execute 36 furious laps, one for every item on your to-do list. The heavy-bellied man who goes thrashing through the water like a horse with a harpoon stuck in its side, and whose breathless tsunamis rock you from your course. Teachers all, learn to be small and swim past obstacles like a minnow, without grudges or memory. Dart toward your goal, sperm to egg, thinking, obstacle is another obstacle. Try to love the teenage girl lounging against the ladder, showing off her new tattoo. Cette vie est la mienne. This life is mine, in thick blue-black letters on her ivory instep. Be glad she'll have that to look at the rest of her life, and keep going. Swim by an uncle in the lane next to yours who is teaching his nephew how to hold his breath underwater, even though kids aren't supposed to be in the pool at this hour. Someday, years from now, This boy who is kicking and flailing in the exact place you want to touch and turn may be a young man at a wedding on a boat, raising his champagne glass in a toast, when a huge wave hits, washing everyone overboard. He'll come up coughing and spitting like he is now, but he'll come up like a cork, alive. So your moment of impatience must bow in service to the larger story, and bow to the larger story, because if something is in your way, it is going your way, the way of all beings, towards darkness, towards light.